Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome, everyone, into the Lake Show. Henry Lake is off tonight. Matthew Collar here. If you are not familiar with my work, usually spend my days and nights covering the Minnesota Vikings for Purple Insider. But every so often, Mr. Lake is on vacation, and I get an opportunity to hang out here for a couple of hours. We've got a lot going on the show tonight. Jonathan Lowe is producing. We'll have Brian Murphy to talk some Vikings coming up at 6:30, and then Daniel House from Gopher Guru is going to come on and break down this Minnesota Gophers game. If you are wondering, the Gophers just scored a touchdown. They are playing New Mexico.
Rate Bowl update!
What is it, the Rate Bowl? All right, well, I rate it 2 thumbs up for the Gophers. This game started out pretty hideous early on, but the Gophers have gotten going. It's 14-6 now, and I want to start out just by talking about how much I love bowl games and why I love them. I love them because of what happened to me earlier this evening at the beginning of this game, where New Mexico got an opportunity to score a touchdown. They got down to the 2-yard line, and the Gophers stopped them a couple of times, moved them back, and they were facing 4th and maybe goal from the 6, I think. And I yelled at the television when they trotted out their field goal unit. My wife was there. We're watching. And I said, what are you doing? Why are you kicking a field goal? You're the lesser team in this bowl game, New Mexico. Lobos, why? Why would you kick a field goal? What are you doing? I don't care about this game at all. And yet there I was. And that is me throughout all of bowl season. The other night, it's Christmas Eve. We watched Die Hard because I don't really care so much about the debate over whether it's a Christmas movie. It's a great movie to watch on Christmas Eve. And there are Christmas things happening. It's a Christmas party. So it's got the vibe, and it's also Die Hard, and it's awesome. So we're watching that, and we get done watching Die Hard, and it's the end of the Hawaii Bowl. And the backup quarterback for Hawaii came in the middle of the game, leads a comeback for the Rainbow Warriors. They throw a touchdown with 10 seconds left to beat Cal, who has this really great quarterback, which, of course, the Gophers found out about earlier this year when they lost to Cal. And here's, again, me going, let's go, Hawaii! What a throw! What a game! I think it's very easy for people to look at the names of the bowl games and make fun of them. I'm not sure what the Rate Bowl exactly refers to, but, you know, they're out there. And there's the Gasparilla something something bowl presented by whatever. I know, you can make fun of them. Uh-oh. Oh, we got a big kick return here from New Mexico. Uh-oh, he's going.
Instant update!
He's going. That's a touchdown. Wow, Gophers. Really? Okay, so it's 14-12 now. That is quite the turn of events. So I know you turn it on and it's Southern Miss versus somebody. later on tonight is FIU versus UTSA. Jonathan, do you know what those letters stand for?
They stand for Florida International University and the University of Texas at San Antonio.
Well done. Well done. This is a knowledgeable sports guy.
By the way, I believe the FIU mascot is a panther.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I know possibly the best, one of the best mascots in Division I, the University of Texas San Antonio, are the Roadrunners.
That's beautiful. That's well done. That is great sports knowledge there. Now New Mexico's going for two, by the way. And I am going to watch this game. We're going to watch it here in the studio, and it won't be over by the time I leave. But when I get home, guess what? I'll watch the end. Because, one, it's football, and they converted, so now it's a tie game. It's football, and I like watching any form of football, as long as it's exciting and halfway decent and there's storylines. But you know what I really like it for the most is for the players and the coaches. In a game like this, the guys in New Mexico, they are never going to have a chance to play for a national championship. It's not going to happen. There are a lot of universities that we could say the same for, and probably Minnesota is one of them. Maybe not probably. They're not going to have a chance to play for a national championship. It's not going to happen. So you get an opportunity to have one last hurrah with your team together, and you do everything you can. You fight like crazy. And some of these games turn out to be wildly back and forth, up and down. I mean, just this one right now, it's 14-14. We've had fumbles. We've had a great pass thrown by Drake Lindsey for a touchdown. We've had a punt after an 11-play drive for the Gophers. We've had a kick return for touchdown. How can you not be romantic about bowl season, everyone? I think it's great. But I also think that and you'll never believe this, college football may have made an error. I know. You're looking at me like, how could that happen with college football? But today was the perfect day, and now they've kicked some sort of onside squib kick, and the Gophers are at the 50-yard line. A day like today, after the NFL decided it was just taking over Christmas, and then you're going to play some of the bigger games not today, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm at a bit of a loss at whoever decided on this schedule to have, no offense to the Gophers and the Lobos or the Roadrunners and the Panthers, but why isn't Bama playing today? I just don't understand why the scheduling is not set for the day after Christmas. It's totally wide open. There's nothing happening on this day. Why wouldn't you have the college football playoff games today?
I'm going to talk to you here now in a normal voice because I'm done with my update voice for now.
Okay.
There could be more.
Do you have clarification
updates
on this of why?
So
it's not today.
I follow college football for a long time. I'm 46 now. I probably say I've been following college football since about 9, 10 years old, 11 years old. So I'd say about 35 years I've been following this. If college football is one thing, it is quote-unquote tradition.
Okay.
The fact that there are so many traditions that go along with this level of the sport, and I'm not even talking about college football in general. I'm just talking about high-level college football, because Division III, Division II, FCS, they kind of follow a different pattern. They're more willing to change than the top level of college football is. What you have is the bowl system, which, in my opinion, has become bloated. It's become overbloated.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But the big day, big days for the bowl season have always been New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Right, yeah.
They've always been there.
Yep.
When the BCS came around, that's when you had the – and actually it happened before that. They had a Fiesta Bowl, the Miami-Penn State national title game in 1986, New Year's 1987. Mm-hmm. That was pushed off of New Year's Day and given its own night on January 2nd. That was kind of the first – straw of let's see what we can push past the first.
Mm-hmm.
Then the BCS came along. They said, okay, we're going to have our normal bowl schedule for some of these bowls, but then the four bowls that were included, and at the time it was the Fiesta, the Rose, the Sugar, and the Orange Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to separate that one out so we have the true national championship game, the one versus two, so it's separated out from all the mess that is New Year's Day. Now with the playoff, they have integrated. They're still trying to hold desperately onto that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have the semifinals next week. No, not even next weekend. In 6 days, 5 days, basically. So you have New Year's Eve. You have
Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes. You have New Year's Eve with the Cotton Bowl with Ohio State, Miami. Then the other three semifinals will take place New Year's Day. They are so stuck in their tradition while trying to change things around, it creates a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
It creates a bit of a quagmire. So that's part of the reason. The other part is you have all these other bowls that don't really mean anything, but it gives ESPN and really ESPN alone a bunch of programming that can fill out 2 weeks around the holidays.
Right.
So those two in concert have really gone against your argument. The biggest, loudest voice in this is the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm. When is the Rose Bowl?
The Rose Bowl is New Year's Day.
Oh.
They had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the BCS.
Oh, right, yeah. They so had that's to be, one of the finals, yeah.
Yes. They had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the BCS era. They had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the playoff era. And they, if the Rose Bowl had their perfect world, they would stay on New Year's Day, you know, basically a 4:30 Eastern start time, which would be 1:30 Pacific. Then they would have their Rose Parade, and they want to keep the Rose Bowl and New Year's Day synced up with each other, despite what it does for the rest of college football. So the Rose Bowl has always been a thorn in the side of expanding and changing the calendar and changing how these games play so that they can be played on a more weekly quote-unquote schedule.
I just feel like if you have this many days between when the first round happens and when the second round happens, you lose all of the momentum for this and people forget who's playing. Like, they're not as important as the NFL. It's not the same level of attention. You lose just a lot of that.
Okay. Maybe for casual fans, but you're never going to lose college football fans.
Aren't they trying to get casual fans? Like, isn't that the main goal, is to get as many people watching as possible, not just hardcore college football fans, which do not even begin to rival something like the NFL for the number of people who watch? I just feel like it loses a lot of the momentum and storylines when you have to wait this long. I mean, I understand why they would want it, as you explained, to stay on January 1st so they can own that day and you start watching college football at 11 a.m. and you finish at 11 p.m. But at the same time, like, couldn't that still happen? Couldn't it still be spread out a little bit quicker to today? When was the last time they played? It was like last week, last weekend.
Last Friday was the first quarterfinal.
And
last
here
Friday
we
night.
Are watching the Good Rates Bowl or whatever, and not like things that matter on a day that's completely clear. I just can't make much sense of that.
Yeah, it's you're going to be, and this is one of the things that has pushed the NCAA down over the years is, yes, it's great to have tradition, but sometimes you can be too stuck in tradition,
mm-hmm.
and that will be a detriment to growing whatever audience you have. And speaking of the momentum, it is a fact that momentum, not just in fan base and in viewer interest, but in the teams that play, is lost. Because you might remember this, you might not. Last year, the quarterfinals, all four of the top seeds, the one, the two, and the three, and the four that had the bye, they all lost in the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now it's going to be intriguing to see what happens come Wednesday and Thursday. Can Miami knock off Ohio State, since they've been off for, you know, 3 weeks.
Well, I think that's
will,
part
will
of
Indiana
the,
be in trouble against Alabama?
That's part of the conversation. Is like these teams, they go right from the end of their season, they get a little break, they get right back into it, and now they sit for 2 weeks. And I mean, who didn't want more Fernando Mendoza? And we don't get more Fernando Mendoza until Thursday. It's just a really long time to sit around and wait for college football. I don't really understand it. But we got a good one here with the Gophers. We're going to have Daniel House on 7:35 to break this one down. I said to Daniel, let's make it 4 hours from kickoff to when to schedule him to come on, because it could go deep into the night with the way college football is. We'll take a quick break. Brian Murphy's going to come up at 6:35. We will keep you abreast of what is going on in the desert as the Gophers play in the Rape Bowl. Also want to talk about last night's game between the Wolves and Denver and a thought that I had at the end of the game. The Vikings winning against the Detroit Lions, maybe to their detriment, and the quarterback conversation continues there. So a lot to discuss tonight. We will be right back. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Carvana's so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just clicks. Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
All right, we got bowl drama as the Gophers and the New Mexico Lobos are tied at 14 apiece with 8 minutes left to go, and the Lobos are punting to the Gophers. And one thing I was thinking about is just whether we care if the Gophers win their bowl games, because every we got a botched. Was that a fake? I looked down for a second. It looks like it was a botched fake from the Lobos. That's what I'm saying. These games are always wild. Do we care whether the Gophers win? Earlier, I'm listening to the broadcast, and they're talking about how, well, you know, they've won, I think, 9 in a row, and PJ has 7 bowl games in a row. And I think it's easy to just sort of roll your eyes at that. Like, oh, who cares? Well, he won the Rape Bowl or the Who Cares Bowl or whatever. But I do think, as Anthony Smith just made another play, and he's been all over the field today.
And it was a fake punt. P.J. Fleck was yelling out to his team from the sideline, fake, so he knew it.
Okay, so he saw it coming. Okay, because I looked over at the other TV, and then I looked back, and then all of a sudden he was being tackled in the backfield. But, you know, I do think it's important because in the atmosphere that there is now in college football where you have – all sorts of NIL stuff and players making millions of dollars to go to whatever program they want to go to. Number one, you get to say that, hey, if they could pull this off here today, we've won 8 bowl games in a row under PJ Fleck. You get an opportunity as their pass rusher who could be drafted this year, an opportunity to play on the big stage, that kind of thing. But I think that any edge that you can possibly squeeze out from playing in a bowl game, winning in a bowl game, putting forth the effort, as the Gophers always do, you see a lot of teams that do not, and they seem to show up to the bowl games. I remember a few years ago when the Gophers played Auburn, and it felt like Auburn wanted to be anywhere except for playing that game, and the Gophers were happy to take the victory, and PJ is always great when it comes to the celebrations. He got mayo thrown all over him and so forth. But I think that he has actually had some success in this recent radical change of college sports because in his recruiting, he seems to find PJ Fleck type guys that maybe aren't necessarily entirely out to get the most dollars. And that's what you have to do if you're PJ Fleck, because you are not going to have the amount of money that a lot of the other programs that are the bigger programs are going to be able to offer some of these players in terms of NIL. So what's your edge? Your edge is finding people who really connect with you, also being able to present the stability of consistent winning seasons, even if they're not winning on the same level as an Ohio State or what Michigan was before their coaching staff went to jail and all that. But you're not one of those programs, and you probably never will be. But can you live in a space where you find the right type of people for you? And then when they go into these bowl games, you look around at the roster and you don't see many guys who are skipping the bowl game to go play in the NFL or get ready for the combine or get ready for the draft and all that. You've seen the players, even who have been drafted, want to showcase what they can do in bowl games for PJ Fleck. I think that there is a positive nature to that overall, even if it's not the most important thing in the entire world of whether the Gophers can win their bowl game or not. And I just think it's good to have one last look at your team, to be able to watch the Gophers play football one more time. You go through an entire season and then it feels like it's just over. Well, you get one more game and it's turned out to be an exciting one. Well, we'll talk a little NFL and keep you updated on what's going on in the game when we return. Brian Murphy, who is formerly of the Pioneer Press, writes for me now over at Purple Insider to react to yesterday's Vikings win over the Detroit Lions. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, welcome back to the show. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake. We're still tied up at 14 in the Rate Bowl between the Gophers and the New Mexico Lobos. Joining the show, formerly a columnist for the Pioneer Press. Now he does a little writing for my newsletter, purpleinsider.football, covering the Minnesota Vikings. Brian Murphy, make sure you go read his column, A Cruel Victory, breaking down yesterday's win over the Detroit Lions. Murph, do you believe that a victory like that matters? What do you think?
Well, matters to whom? It does. There are certain things it matters to. It certainly matters to Brian Flores, who got another opportunity with a national audience to show what kind of a defensive coordinator he has been over the long haul here in Minnesota and, you know, the head coach that he wants to be. I think it matters. It certainly mattered for Harrison Smith. If this is indeed his final game, these final two games at U.S. Bank Stadium, and I mean, what a send-off, not only emotionally, but also with the production that he showed. And maybe he'll sniff around and want to come back for it. And I guess maybe it matters to, you know, Kevin O'Connell in the sense that he managed to, you know, get a team that was 4-8 and as rock bottom as could be a month ago, you know, rally for four straight wins, a chance to finish with a winning record. Again, these are, you know, small moral victories. But when you've seen where this season has been at times, the fact that we're even talking about a 9-win season, it feels like something.
Yeah, I mean, I go a little back and forth on this, Murph, because the reality is, and no one wants to talk about it, but they may have played themselves out of an easier schedule next year. And I know that's only two or three games, but those two or three games, if you had three more wins to the Minnesota Vikings season, it's a great year. And they'd have 11 wins, and we'd all be talking about who they're playing in the playoffs. So those games can matter. And we've seen teams like San Francisco and Chicago take advantage of playing bad teams and getting easy wins because of it and take advantage of their schedules. And also draft status, where you pick, the higher you pick, the better odds. If you pick 10th, it's better than 20th, even if, you know, some teams have gotten lucky. At the same time, I agree, I would not want to rob fans of that experience of seeing Harrison Smith and what he did. But then on the offensive side of the ball, Murph, I mean, I would...
You notice I didn't mention anybody offensively. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. It's like, to win a game like that is fun to watch what they did defensively, but offensively, I mean, there's no hope, there's no promise, there's no maybe this guy will be here for next year. You won a game with someone who probably you hope never has to play again.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Look, Max Brosmer's a nice, cute little story, but he's not an NFL quarterback. He's not a backup NFL quarterback, at least right now. He may eventually develop into one. And maybe he's worth a developmental project for your QB3. I'm not sure. That's I think, the ceiling right now for him. But, yeah, what did they have? Net 5-10 passing yards? Something
three.
Historically low? Three. I'm sorry. I knew it was a ridiculous number. And we've been talking all season long how you cannot win with quarterbacking that the Vikings have gotten. They managed to win yesterday because the Lions were banged up and their defense took over and befuddled Jared Goff, and Goff has been befuddled by blitzing before. So that in and of itself, I like what they have on their roster as far as skill players. I don't know offensively, I don't know how many they're going to be able to keep. Aaron Jones is a great story and a true soldier, but he's older, he's top-heavy, and he's injury-prone. Jordan Addison, Jalen Naylor, you know, Naylor's going to get paid. Isn't yep. that the scuttlebutt? So you've lost your third receiving option there. The offensive line, which was rebuilt, is more messy today than it was 6 months ago. So those are the things that they're going to have to attack. I think the bones are there, but the biggest bone and the biggest brain and the biggest spine is the quarterback, and we don't know what we have with J.J. McCarthy, who, by the way, caller, I believe was a number 10 overall pick, right? So maybe that 10 overall pick doesn't necessarily guarantee you success. It guarantees you better chances of success. I don't know. Would they be better off 4-13? Yeah, in the draft standpoint, yes. But I don't know if this market could have handled the last 2 months if it ended up being 4-13.
Well, isn't that always the problem? Isn't that always the problem is that the Vikings organization never, ever wants to be 4-13 and therefore never drafts in the top 10. And they had to trade up to from 11 to 10 to get J.J. McCarthy there. And he was the fifth quarterback taken. Do you know why he was the fifth quarterback taken, Murph? Because Josh Dobbs.
The sixth best.
Because Josh Dobbs won three games and played them out of drafting in the top three. And you know what people said back then was, oh, those are such great wins. Great for the culture. Great for Kevin O'Connell. Great for yada, yada, yada. So much fun. And you don't have Drake May. And I don't know how many other different ways to put it. Like, it's not better to win these games. But
I agree with everything you've said. My contention on the tanking is I don't know how you sell tanking that is palatable. And you can never be done. So the notion that they'd be better off at 4-13 sounds great on paper, but you can't, as an organization, present your product in that way. Although the Raiders seem to be doing that this weekend.
I mean, I don't know. Like, people showed up to a meaningless game yesterday between two teams that were not. You're selling your product for this year is already dead. It's been dead since you got to 4-8. You don't have a product. You threw for 3 yards. Like, I don't know. Is that a good product?
So if you're director of marketing, how do you
package? Who cares? They're the Minnesota Vikings. You think that people aren't coming back next year and being excited and buying season tickets because one season fell apart for this franchise? For this level, the NFL is undefeatable when it comes to this. I saw everybody whine, all these games are going to be bad. I guarantee you they blew out the NFL or the NBA yesterday. To me, it's always the short term. We got to make sure we put on a good product next week, regardless of what's more important for the future of this team. And that's how you end up with three playoff wins in 20 years.
All right. I'd love to see you package that and become that executive who brings that to the table and says, when it goes bad, we're going all in on bad, and we're going to get out in front of every microphone and go in on all bad. I don't know how you do that.
I don't have any problem with it at all. I just ask people, is the franchise shutting down next week, or are we going to have a long-term plan here to win? But I'm not saying that the Vikings this year should have tanked. I don't know what that would even look like. They already have half of the team on IR anyway, with Jonathan Greenard, Brian O'Neill, Christian Darrisaw, and they're playing third-string quarterback. Like, this, it's kind of the point, though, about this team, Murph, is that they never should have gotten to 4-8 in the first place. Because they have this much talent. And that circles me back to Kevin O'Connell, which is, yes, for his win-loss record, he's 8-8. And that looks pretty good for his culture and all that. But what amount of 8-8 did he do? I mean, when I look at what Brian Flores has done with this defense and how they won yesterday, isn't that, Murph, the perfect encapsulation of this season, of this offense being an abomination under O'Connell, and Brian Flores finding a way to drag them to, like, mildly decent results?
Mildly decent, yes. And then you can look at all the opportunities that were wasted in the first 10 weeks, even with serviceable quarterback play from Carson Wentz. I believe you would be looking at two more wins right now. So then what kind of conversation are we having? And what I would like to know is did Brian Flores cement his reputation and clear the path for the settlement of his litigation and an upcoming NFL head coaching opportunity? Or is he becoming the more valuable coach at TCO Performance Center if he ends up staying here? That's a great question going into next year as well.
Yeah, that would be a really hard thing to do for someone who has, and I will give O'Connell a ton of credit for stabilizing the franchise. Like, it's not a team that gets into tough spots and then is going to turn on its coach or someone who acts like Mike Zimmer did toward his players and makes them turn on him, right? Or loses control of the entire building or stops talking to the general manager for 6 months, which Zimmer did at the end of his time here. And the locker room has always been great with O'Connell and the players have never given up this season at any point. But at the same time, the guy driving this success from an X's and O's standpoint is the DC. And I do think, Murph, that yesterday it was so spectacular and it was in front of everyone that it will impact Brian Flores' future in some positive way. I don't know if that's head coach, but his contract being up is a big deal here. Murph, do you think he's back?
Well, I think he's back if the NFL litigation grinds on, because I don't believe the NFL owners are going to break from their little cult and cartel and reward somebody who is actively suing them for racial discrimination. It's a good old boys network. They're not going to put up with that. So this may give him a little more leverage in the settlement talks, because I think it may behoove the league and probably Flores' career if this is settled. But settled on what terms and who's going to admit what, and there's a lot of pride there as well. That being said, if that does get wrapped up here, I do find him being an NFL head coach again. That's what he wants to do, and he's playing with a lot of house money right now. If that doesn't happen and he is stuck coming back here, how much are the Wolves willing to pony up to keep him here? What's that term going to look like? Not so much the dollar figure. And how much will Kevin O'Connell really want to share in terms of head coaching salary, but also prominence and sort of, you know, we're a long way from the old Buddy Ryan, Mike Ditka era, where you basically had, you know, two people that couldn't stand each other coaching in spite of each other and creating great success. But I wonder how, if Flores is going to be almost needed to be elevated to like a co-head coach position to either strengthen his resume, or, you know, if he wants to take advantage of the leverage he's stockpiling here, that could be an interesting offseason.
Yep, it certainly could be, because there will be other teams with very wealthy owners who are looking to turn around their defenses, and Brian Flores is now year three of a very, very good to elite defense after he took over a bleep show in 2022. So he has really done a lot there. Before I let you go, Murph, Harrison Smith, how do you contextualize his legacy as a Minnesota Viking? And over the last 2 years, you know, I was concerned going into those seasons. You never want to see someone fall off and struggle. And then earlier this year, he was dealing with a health issue that kept him out. And I thought, oh, this is just unfortunate, right? That Smith's going to kind of have that last year that's really tough, like so many great players. And over the last 4 or 5 games, he has basically said, I am the captain now, and has taken over some of these games on defense, whether it's orchestrating where everybody's supposed to be, what coverage they're playing, or just doing it himself, picking off passes, getting sacks, TFLs, knocking down passes. The guy's been an absolute monster. How do you put that into context in Vikings history?
The one thing missing, like so many Vikings greats, is that ring. But for somebody in the modern era to stay with one organization for 13 years and put together the body of work that he has, and doing it with grace and style. And I think he's revealed himself to the public a lot more in the last several weeks and months, just as somebody who I think has realized, if this is the end of the road, how much he's trying to appreciate where he's at and what the game means. And then I just don't want to snuff this out yet, because I mean, maybe it's a fool's errand to think, you know, all this production the last few weeks, you know, maybe he's found a little bit of the fountain of youth. You hate to go for that one last year and have it end it disastrously. But I will say this, if Brian Flores is back as defensive coordinator, that may factor into whether Harrison Smith wants to come back or whether the Vikings want to have him back. And I would pay attention to that a little bit, just to see how that plays out. But as far as an all-time locker room guy, a guy that knows where a lot of bodies are buried in this franchise, he's seen a lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of heartache, but he's been a very steady presence, durable, and just kind of he's kind of a guy you want on your team. And before you know it, 13 years have passed, and he may be filing retirement papers, but he's been so steady and so reliable that I think maybe the market took him for granted a bit. And I think you saw with that TV timeout yesterday that sort of mutual admiration and emotion that came out both for player and fan, that was quite something to see.
Yeah, I agree. I was lucky enough to be standing there in the locker room when he was talking about that. And it's really special to see a guy be able to put it in perspective as it's happening, which is not something that happens for every athlete who is aging. Brian Murphy, purpleinsider.football. The article is called A Cruel Victory for the Vikings at US Bank Stadium. I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for popping on with me.
All right. Sounds good. Talk soon.
All right, there's Murph, used to write for the Pioneer Press. Great, great columnist. His article is awesome, as it always is. And great to have him on my site. So it's coming down to the final seconds here. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll let you know what happens. New Mexico and the Gophers tied at 14. New Mexico's got the ball and driving, facing a 3rd and 10. So, hey, this is exactly the bowl drama that I was talking about earlier that I love, that you could tell me, oh, I don't love bowl games, and then look at you, you're deep into it by the end. They're at midfield. So we'll take a quick break. We'll update you on that as we go along, and I want to talk a little NBA as well soon. So I started out the show talking about how I will watch any bowl game anytime. I love them. I think they're really fun and ridiculous. And I know that they have added so many bowl games in recent years that everybody gets a bowl game, but I don't mind that. I get to see a lot of teams that maybe I didn't see before. Sometimes they throw mayo on someone. Sometimes they murder Pop-Tarts. So there's all sorts of funny little comical things that happen. A character from a video game was handing out the trophy in one of the bowl games, and it just looked completely ridiculous. And tomorrow we've got a preposterous slate. Now, I will be watching the NFL games rather than, you know, the Pinstripe Bowl or the the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. Let's make sure we get it right. Or the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. But I also like this. They're playing tonight. The Gophers are. They're going to overtime. They're playing at a baseball stadium. Tomorrow, there's a game in Annapolis. There's a game at Yankee Stadium. There's a game at Fenway Park. You know, there's a lot of interesting things that they try to do to spruce these up. And every once in a while, you get an absolute classic gem. And I think that we've got a little bit of that tonight. Is it a classic, great football game? Maybe not the best, but it's going to overtime. We've got drama at least. I mean, New Mexico could pull the upset here, or the Gophers could get their, whatever it is, 10th straight bowl game win. There's things on the line. And even if you don't feel like there is, it's still entertaining football. But I can't watch silly bowl games over the NFL tomorrow. So we do have a 3:30 game and a 7 o'clock game. Although Tyler Huntley versus Malik Willis is maybe not the most exciting thing I've ever heard of. But during the day, as you're leading up to that, you're going to have plenty of bowl action. And I think it's fun. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. 10, 11, 1:15, 2:30. You got plenty of time. So we'll keep you up to date here on Overtime. Daniel House is supposed to join us at 7:30 if the game is not still going on. If it is, we'll wait till a little later to get his breakdown. I want to talk Anthony Edwards when we return. Great game from him last night, but a moment that just made you scratch your head. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me.
They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.